Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together this morning to Matthew chapter 28, and we are going to conclude today our series, Come, Let Us Adore Him, and we're going to focus on the last two themes that you and I need to adore the Lord Jesus Christ concerning. Now, we began this series taking the words from the famous carol, O Come All Ye Faithful, Come, Let Us Adore Him, Christ the Lord. And we focused on the word adore because in that word is the concept of allegiance. Not just simply appreciating, but dedicating our hearts and our minds and every part of our being to the Lord because He alone is worthy to receive our adoration and our allegiance. And today I'm going to focus on this thought, number 5 in our series, Let Us Adore Him for His promise to be with us always. Let us adore Him for His promise to be with us always. I want you to look at the end of chapter 28 of Matthew, and I want us to focus on verses 17 through 20. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. You have some in every group, do we not? Some will come and worship Him, but some doubt. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then this thought, And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The word world there is the word aeon, and it has the idea of age. All the way to the end of the age, He's promised that He will do what? He will be with us. And by the way, what was the name that was to be given to this Christ child that would come? They shall call Him Emmanuel, prophesied in the Old Testament and then declared in the New Testament, which means what? God with us. Father in heaven, I pray that You'd open our hearts this morning to the wonderful truth of the promise that You've made to every child of God that You will not leave us nor forsake us. We thank You for Your presence. We also thank You for the promise that You're going to come and take us to be with You. We pray now Your blessings upon this service this morning. And I pray that every heart that is present here and those who listen by way of Facebook Live or who will hear us through the internet, we pray that the focus at this Christmas time would not be upon what we're going to get, but what we have received from Thee, and that is the Son, Jesus Christ, the One who went to the cross of Calvary and shed His precious blood and died and then rose again the third day bodily from the tomb. It is in Him that we find this wonderful gift of grace. And I pray that everyone that hears this message will know Him as our personal Savior, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to see here that you and I should adore the Lord Jesus Christ because of the promise that He has made to us. You know, promises are wonderful things. I promise that I'm going to do this, that, or the other. We like promises. We especially like them at Christmas time. My son Brian celebrates his 23rd birthday today. And I remember the excitement in the Christmas time of 1997 when we were anticipating the birth of our second child. And I texted him this morning. I said, Brian, I just want to wish you a happy birthday and let you know that I've enjoyed watching you grow up. And I'm so thankful that he knows the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. But, you know, the promise. I remember Dr. Lee coming to us and said, we're going to induce this baby because I want to be home for Christmas. He was due on December the 25th. That was his actual due date. And he said, we're going to induce him. Now, my wife did not complain. She didn't say, I want a Christmas baby. She didn't complain the least bit. She was ready to have Brian because he was a big baby, 9 pounds, 3 ounces, something of that nature. And he was a good size baby. But I remember that Christmas that year was focused on getting Mama home from the hospital and having a new baby in our house and so forth like that. And, you know, it was a wonderful promise fulfilled. God took care of that baby all through the pregnancy and allowed us to have Brian 23 years ago now. Now, promises are wonderful, especially if the person making the promise is someone that keeps their word. I'm sure we could all go back and look at promises that were broken in the past. Promises that maybe could not have been fulfilled because it just wasn't possible. There's a lot of folks that can't visit their family members this year because of COVID-19. They're having to stay separated. They're not able to join together. There are some that had to break the promise because of work-related issues that they couldn't get off to be able to go and visit. There are promises that people make because they want you to feel good about a situation, but they're not willing to keep that promise. We've all dealt with those particular individuals, and they break our hearts. They discourage us. But I want you to know this morning that God Almighty has made a promise. And He said it through His Son, Jesus Christ, as some of the last words that He uttered before He ascended back into heaven. And the promise is this: Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Now that's a promise that will never be broken. That is a promise that brings peace and security to you and I that know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Well, there were a lot of questions earlier in this year. Having to close the school and go to Zoom, not having a baseball program, not having the T-ball World Series, wondering what the summer program was going to look like. Are we going to be able to open back up in the fall? A lot of questions that we had. What was the one constant through all of that? The presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The presence of God in our hearts and lives. We have witnessed so many answers to prayer. We have seen God work in this country. We've seen God work in hearts and lives. Through COVID, I've had more opportunities this year to witness to people, to just talk to them about the Lord. The usual things, Todd, what do you think's going to happen? The big question has been, are y'all going to have a season in 2021? I said, well, we're planning on it. But I said, sometimes God has other plans. We planned on it last year, and God had other plans. I've got a message, Lord willing, next Sunday, based upon Romans chapter 15 of the Apostle Paul, who said, Lord willing, I'm going to come again and see you on my way to Spain. Said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem first and take the offering that I promised to bring them, and then I will return back to Rome, and I'm going to visit with you, and then I'm going to leave and go on to Spain. Do you know what? We have no record that he ever made it to Spain. And God had a different way of sending him to Rome. It was shackled in a prison ship that took him back to Rome. I think it's important to understand that we plan, we propose, but God is the one that disposes. God has things that He's working in our lives that we don't anticipate. Last year, at this time, we anticipated a wonderful 2020. None of you were thinking at this time last year, oh, I hope we have a pandemic. And you know, let's top it off with a few hurricanes. And you know what? Let's let Jay have an earthquake. All right? We weren't thinking that way. We were looking at 2020 with excitement, thinking about, you know, all the things and the plans and so forth like that, but everything changed. But the promise of the presence of God has remained unchanged. Unchanged. You have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I've got a brother that I'm very close to. We shared everything growing up. We shared chest of drawers, a closet, a bedroom, all our days growing up. From the time we were born and came into the house until we graduated from college, we stayed in the same room. It was hard when I went to his wedding in 1989. Because I went back that night after a late night of cleaning up, and I walked back into that bedroom, for the first time, and my brother wasn't there. It was just me. And I said, Lord, this can't continue. We got to do something about this, you know. I was hitting the panic button. My brother and my sister were married, and I was the oldest. I wasn't setting a very good example. But you know what happened? God wanted me to wait another 5 years. He wanted me to wait, and for several of those years, I'd walk into that bedroom at night, and there was Roger's twin bed on that side, and there was mine on mine, and all those memories of doing things together. The dog used to sleep with us in between our beds. Our dog Pebbles growing up. She died my senior year of high school. And boy, both of us would fall asleep petting our dog in between. She would just lay there, just loving life, you know. And things change. But you know what has never changed? The presence of Almighty God has been there every day. And whenever I was wondering, what's going to happen to me? Am I ever going to get married? God was already working in hearts and lives to bring my wife and I together. We were, at that particular time, almost 1,500 miles apart. And then God brought us together and met each other in Greenville, South Carolina. And then she came down here, and then the Lord started to work in bringing us together. God is always present. Did you get that? Always. Always. What an important word. In other words, there's never a moment in the 24/7 cycle of our lives that God is not present. Let's look at some other scriptures that point this out. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. It was to King Ahaz at that particular time. He was asking for a sign, and God gave him one. It was a sign of a future event. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's the first time we see that word in the Bible, Emmanuel. And you know what it means in both the Hebrew and in the transliteration of the Greek? It means God with us. God with us. Even His name reflects that. You know, everybody's name means something. I was a little disappointed to find out what Todd means in German. Todd means death in German. Thank you. Thank you, Mom and Dad. I appreciate that. I didn't know that Todd meant death, although there were a few times that I was knocking at heaven's gate growing up. Whenever I'd misbehave, I knew that things were going to straighten out. But you know, it also means in English, fox. So I learned, different things about my name. Some have regal names. I was always jealous of Roy Adams. Roy means king. King Roy. And, you think about other people's names. Some people don't like their names. Well, I'm sorry. Some people change their names. But I want you to know a person this morning whose name never changes because he's always with us. Emmanuel. The God who is present. Emmanuel. All right? Emmanuel. The one who's ever present with us. Matthew 1:23 gives us the fulfillment of that prophecy. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God with us. Hebrews 13:5-6, listen carefully, you don't need to turn there, just listen. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Isn't that a good verse for Christmas time? Be content with what I have, but I turned over a list. I gave it out to family members, man. I'm expecting stuff. Well, what does the Bible say? Be not covetous and be contented with whatsoever things that you have. Boy, there's a Christmas message all on its own. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What is the answer to covetousness and not being contented? It's the presence of God. That's the answer. Lo, I'm with you always. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Do you see the flow of the message that's there in Hebrews chapter 13? He's always with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He is our helper. And, as it says, don't be afraid what men can do to you. I don't need to be afraid at this Christmas time or any time of the year. I know that the Lord is my helper. He's going to assist me, and no matter what things I face, that's one thing that Mom has emphasized over and over again over the past months with her battle with cancer, is that she knows that the Lord is with her. The Lord is with her. She got to go out in the yard yesterday. I was out. I was doing a little bit of metal detecting in my grandmother's yard. There used to be a house that was there in the 20s and 30s. That was their first house before they moved into the one that's there now. And I just went around. I was looking for things. I found all kinds of neat things from the house from the past. And I took them over to show Mom. And one of them was a little gun, the barrel of a play gun, cowboy gun, that was buried down about 6 inches in the soil. And I took it over there. You remember that? I don't remember that. I don't know. It may have been Ray's, or it may have been the family that lived there before us. And, you know, just things of the past and so forth like that. And I all I could think about is that Mom's been alive for 76 years. She got saved when she was a teenager. And she's known the presence of God all these years in her life. And I came to know Jesus Christ too, because God put me in a home where both Mom and Dad knew the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and every day the Bible was read in our house. I got to grow up with that. That was a gift. You know what it was? It was the presence of God in His Word and in my family's life. All of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior this morning have the benefit of the knowledge of the presence of God, no matter what happens, no matter what comes our way, no whatever challenges that we face in this life. You and I are going to walk out of here in just a few moments. If you know Him as your Savior, if you embrace Him as your Lord at this Christmas time, if you treasure Jesus Christ in your life, you will walk out with Jesus, and He will never leave you nor forsake you. There's nowhere you can go in this world that He's not there with you. Isn't that a wonderful privilege? Whether you're on an airline, going to the other side of the world, or you're going to Walmart. And I'm going to tell you, you need the Lord Jesus when you go to Walmart. I want to tell you, it's safer and sometimes to go to Taco Bell than it is to Walmart. It's just crazy at this time of the year. People just, they're going to get that gift, and if you get in their way, look out, you know. But no matter where you go, the presence of the Lord is with us. Do you know what that means, Christian? To have that knowledge? Because the rest of the world that are lost in their sin have no knowledge of that presence. Have no knowledge of that presence. But you that know Jesus Christ as your Savior, enjoy His presence. I think of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What are the next words? Would you say it again? For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. I think about one more verse, Joshua 1 and verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wheresoever ye may go. That was God's statement to Joshua, taking over and filling the shoes of a man that had walked before for many, many years, Moses. Have I not told you, be courageous, be strong? And how could he do that? How could he be strong? How could he be courageous? He was going to face all kinds of enemies. It was the promise that the Lord your God is with you whithersoever thou goest. That's the promise that you and I need to adore the Lord for this morning. I want to take you to the second one. And that is this, number six. Let us adore Him for His promise to take us to be with Him. Would you turn over to John chapter 14? John chapter 14, very familiar passage of Scripture, but the truth needs to be emphasized, especially in these days. The truth of Jesus Christ coming again. I want to begin reading in just the first four verses. Let not your heart be what? Troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. But then there's verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. We're going to get to Thomas's response here in just a moment because he was confused about what the Lord was talking about. But I want you to see here, there's a very important promise here. He says, I'm going away and I'm going to be preparing a place for you. And when I go away, I want you to know there's a promise. But what is he saying here? He's saying, listen, I'm not going to be with you physically for very much longer. I'm going to be leaving this earth. But my presence will be just as real if I'm standing right in front of you. Just as real. My presence is sure. Now, then he says this, you believe God. Now, you know what he's making here? He's making a connection in our thoughts. We're a little slow. Thomas was a little slow to get this. But there were some things that Jesus shared there that were a little bit different than what Thomas had heard about the coming of the Lord. He was thinking coming back to the earth, but he uses a different expression here. He says, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Before we find in Matthew in the latter chapters there about him coming physically back to the earth and touching down and reigning here upon the earth, but this seems to describe something different, and it is. Talking about the rapture. The rapture. Now notice this, please. Ye believe in God. What do they believe about God? Well, they don't see Him, but they believe that He is. So what's Jesus doing? He said, all right, if you believe in God and you don't see Him physically, you can believe in me, even though I'm not here physically with you. Strengthening their faith. Giving them the promise. Now, by the way, this is another interesting fact about these verses. We don't have the singular you used here in this passage. We see the plural you. We see the singular before that when Jesus was dealing with Peter. When Peter had denied Him and was going to deny Him. And we find here the picture where He turns and says, let not your heart be troubled. Speaking to all the disciples, what's about to happen? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to be arrested, He's going to be tried, and He's going to be crucified. And they're not going to know what to do. And Jesus tells them what to do. Don't let your heart be troubled. I have no idea what 2021 is going to bring. I have no idea whether we're going to have a 2021. The Lord may come back, and we may be in His presence, and 2021 will play out here on this earth in the seven-year tribulation, the beginning of that. I don't know what the Lord has in store for us, but I know this. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. And this is the heart of the promise. I will come again. I will never forget the day And I think, I forget exactly what year, it was the early 1970s, that my dad received a phone call from his mom telling him that his brother had been killed. I remember Dad coming in from the living room. He took the phone, went around the corner, and came back in. I very few times saw my dad cry, and that was one of them. And he told us all, said, Uncle Ronnie is dead. He was killed in a tragic accident trying to cross over a train track, and a train hit him and killed him. And I remember Dad saying, I'm going to have to go to Ohio for his funeral. We were little at the time, and it was the first time I remember him being away from us. Dad was always there. And I remember he was gone. And he told us as he was going to the airport to get on the plane, he said, Daddy's going to come back. You know, we're thinking, you know, Uncle Ronnie's gone. I remember all the vacations going up there and the fun we had at his little ranch that he had and the horses that we rode and so forth. And that was never going to happen again because he was gone. But I remember going to the airport and picking up Dad when he came back, and the joy that was in our heart. That was back in the days when the airport was mostly outside. Anybody remember those days? When they got on the jet, they walked from the outside of the chain link fence there at Flagler Field, and you watched them walk up the stairs and get into the airplane, and then the jet would take off, and we would stand there at the fence as the jet would hit the juice, and, you know, we'd get all the dust and so forth like that. We were more excited about that than seeing Dad leave. But I remember waiting there as Dad would come down, watching the different people coming down, and waiting for Dad to come off that airplane, and we would see our Dad again. Anticipation. You know what I think is lost on the church today? It's the anticipation of the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're not standing at the chain link fence looking and watching to see when our Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. Like the anticipation of an 8-year-old child waiting for his daddy to come home after a funeral and seeing him after several weeks. That anticipation! Christian, it should be in your heart and life. Anticipation! Because a promise has been made. He will come again and receive us unto Himself. He's going to embrace us. Oh, that was so fun. When Dad came up, he was carrying his old gray suitcase. I remember it just like it was yesterday. Came walking up there, and we gave Dad a big old hug. That's the picture. I will receive you unto myself. That's the promise, Christian, that awaits you and I. Oh, come! Let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. We have so much to adore our Lord over. And Christian, there's nothing in this world that you ought to be waiting with anticipation for other than the coming of Jesus Christ. Oh, there's lots of things that we anticipate. We anticipate the birth of children, and we anticipate the birth of grandchildren, and we anticipate certain events, graduation from high school, and those are important things. But they all pale in significance. They all pale in significance to the fact that Jesus Christ has promised to come back to take us to be with Him. Now notice Thomas' reaction. We've got just a few minutes left. Thomas had been taught all of his life that the Messiah would come to earth and establish His kingdom in Israel and rule from Jerusalem. But Jesus is saying something different here. He says, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Thomas responded in verse 5, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? He was confused. A lot of people that are confused today. Where are you going? And we don't know the way. What are you talking about? Is basically what he's saying here. Aren't you going to set up your kingdom here upon this earth? That's what they were anticipating. He had just witnessed on that Sunday the people rejoicing, Hosanna, King of the Jews! Thou son of David! They're thinking the establishing of the kingdom, but there's something that had to happen first. And it was this. Sin had to be atoned for. That's why He came the first time. But He is coming back again. But there's an event that takes place before that coming to earth, and it's the rapture. The upward calling of God's saints from this earth to be with Him. And we will join Him and come with Him when He comes the second time and touches down upon this earth. He doesn't do that in the rapture. It says that He greets us in the clouds. But at that time, we will come back with Him and He will come and touch down. The Bible gives three different places that He will touch down. The plains of Armageddon. We're told in a place in northern Saudi Arabia where He touches down Basra. And He touches down in Jerusalem. His coming will be a literal coming to this earth. And He's going to rule and reign over this earth with all His power and might, and righteousness will be in vogue, and justice and equity will be the standard of His government. But you and I will get to enjoy something. We will be embraced by Jesus Christ in the clouds, and we're going to get our new bodies, and we're going to be with Him for all eternity. Does that thrill your soul, Christian? Or is it like number five on the list of things that thrill our hearts? Oh, we like this world, don't we? We love the things of this world. But I'm here to tell you, we need to come and adore our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because He's coming again. He's coming again. And I think it's sooner than we think. It's sooner than we think. There are still preachers. I talked to one just recently and said, yeah, I still think we've got hundreds of years to go before the Lord Jesus. And I told him, I said, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, even so, come quickly. That's the prayer of the saint. Not thinking it's way off out in the future. Any moment return, imminent is the word. The any moment return of Jesus Christ. There are no prophecies to be fulfilled before the rapture. And He's coming to take you and me that know Jesus Christ to be with Him. And I want to tell you something. I'm looking forward to being with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, I'm looking forward to a mansion to live in. I want to tell you something. You're thinking earthly thoughts. All right? I wonder if it's going to be a code that we punch in to get into our house. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, there is no sin in heaven. We're not going to have to worry about that. What do? We always think of heaven with earthly thoughts. Get that out of your thinking. The one with whom we have to do is Jesus Christ. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Father in heaven, I thank You for this time together today. Lord, I thank You for the promises that You've made. You've promised that You'll never leave us, that You will be with us always, even unto the end of the age. Lord, You'll be with us beyond this age, because we will be with You. What a glorious day that will be. But also, dear Father, the promise of Your coming. Oh, it confused Thomas because he was thinking of the earthly reign, and Jesus was sharing with him something that he did not understand or know, and that was the rapture that would take place, where He would receive us unto Himself. We look forward to that day. We look forward to the time in which the trump will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What wonderful promises, and how do we need to respond? We need to come and adore the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to give Him adoration and our full allegiance. Dear Father, work in the hearts and lives of those who may be listening today that know very little about what we're talking about. There's no anticipation of a coming Savior because they don't know the Savior. They're just trying to eke out a living, live in this world, try to scratch together some measure of a life and call it good. There's nothing good about that. The only thing that is good is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who loved us in spite of our sin and came to that cross and shed His blood and died and rose again the third day bodily from the tomb, that would forever allow and grant salvation to lost sinners who call upon His name. Father, I pray that You do a work in our hearts and lives today. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.